Welcome to Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia. First, we'll have some news, and then we'll have a conversation with Ana Rodriguez about HPV vaccine. Here are the top stories from the week from Physicians First Watch. Editor Amy Herman has the day off. First, despite receiving blessings from the major heart organizations as a preferred antihypertensive, chlorthalidone fetches up with a higher risk for renal and electrolyte disorders than hydrochlorothiazide. This according to a JAMA internal medicine study. Next, a study in the BMJ urges cautious use of macrolide antibiotics during pregnancy because of an increased risk for fetal malformations, especially in the cardiovascular system. The study authors estimate an additional 4 children per 1,000 births having the malformations with macrolides versus with penicillins. And you know all that coughing and sneezing? Blame some of it on this year's flu vaccine, which is only about 45% effective. It's got higher effectiveness in kids, though, closer to 55%. And in separate flu news, COVID-19 cases in China showed a continuing drop at week's end. China reported a total of 74,000 cases and 2,100 deaths. And last of all, the weight loss drug lorcaserin is being taken off the market after an FDA finding that the drug's potential risk for cancer outweighs its benefits. The drug, a serotonin agonist, was sold as Belvic. Now stick around for this week's clinical conversation. With human papillomavirus vaccine in short supply, moving from a 2 or 3 dose regimen to 1 dose would immediately double or treble supplies, cut costs, and simplify logistics. A careful study in cancer by this week's guest, Ana Rodriguez and her colleagues, adds to the evidence that single dosing is possible and protective against precancerous cervical lesions. The team compared 2 groups of females, each comprising over 65,000 members, between the ages of 9 and 26. 1 group had received at least 1 dose of HPV vaccine, while the other was not vaccinated. The results showed an over 30% reduction in the rate of pre-invasive cervical lesions at the 5-year mark. We'll have Dr. Rodriguez fill in some details in this promising work. Dr. Rodriguez is an associate professor in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston. Welcome to Clinical Conversations, Dr. Rodriguez.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Now, pardon me if I've oversimplified your research, Dr. Rodriguez. What is it that listeners should know about how carefully you approached the relation between the number of vaccine doses and pre-invasive lesions?
Definitely. This is very important because we now have a vaccine that has been proven to prevent different HPV-related cancers among humans. And it is important for the audience to understand that the earliest people get this vaccine, more protection they will have against HPV-related cancers in the future. As you mentioned, this study highlights the importance of vaccinating early. And we also saw that even 1 dose of the vaccine is very successful in preventing HPV-related precancerous lesions among women, lesions that can progress into cervical cancer in the future.
There was an editorial accompanying your article, and they were praising the care that you took or in arranging the research. And one of those things that we should mention is that you had roughly 66,000 women who had been vaccinated, who had received either 1, 2, or 3 doses of the vaccine. And then you matched those against an equal number of women who had not been vaccinated, but they were matched by several ways. Can you tell us a bit how you matched those 2 groups?
Correct. So we matched by age, other clinical characteristics of the population. It's a very, very complex statistical matching that we perform. So different variables were involved in this process, but mainly we'll look at age, which is very important. Age, mainly focusing the time that this population received the vaccine.
I see. And so the age at vaccination, and then also, as I'm recalling from your article, the geographic area in which the subject and the control were living at the time of the vaccination.
Correct. We'll look at that.
And then you also matched, or you also allowed a one-year interval to pass between the vaccination and the follow-up. And that was to account for pre-vaccination exposure?
Right. It's mainly for the exposure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's important to make sure that these patients are not being diagnosed with the precancerous lesions as a result of previous exposure.
Okay. And so there were three age groups. There were the, the women between the ages of 9 and 15, ages between 15 and 19, and then women 20 and
older.
And older. Okay. And so the study really wasn't about the effectiveness of the vaccine as much as it was about what's the effect of just having one dose of the vaccine.
Right. The main goal was to look at the clinical outcomes, because I am a clinician. I see these patients coming now to the clinic for cervical cancer screening. And they give us a history of receiving the vaccine in the past. So my interest is to see now how the cervical cancer screening test will be resulting among this population that have received the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I got the idea and I got curious about that aspect of their care. I want to know how the pap smears and the HPV testing are resulting among these patients that have received the vaccine. So from there, we decide to study those clinical outcomes among that population, look back and see how many patients that have received the vaccine presented with abnormal pap smears, HPV infection, and cervical precancerous lesions.
And you did this by using an insurance database.
Yes. The university has access to this huge database that collects information from patients from commercial insured patients from around the country.
Okay. So the study was characterizing then the fact that the people receiving one, two, or three doses had roughly the same risk between the ages of 15 and 19, I should say.
Correct. That's exactly correct.
Between the ages of 15 and 19, the women receiving one, two, or three doses had about the same protection against these precancerous cervical lesions.
Correct. And that's very important because, as you mentioned before, if all we need is to give one vaccine to the population to prevent those precancerous lesions and eventually cervical cancer in the future, that's a big, big deal for us, because with one dose, it's easier to give it, cheaper, more cost effective, and it's going to protect the population the same way when you compare to two doses or three doses. So it's very, very promising that all that this population might need is just one dose.
And the groups that were younger than the 15 to 19 group, and the, for instance, didn't show that protection, not because they weren't protected, but because the event rate was too low for you to detect it.
Correct. And because they are still too young, and those are the patients that are still not coming to the clinic to have pap smears done.
Okay.
Right now, the guideline is to start pap smears around 21 years of age. So that population is still too young to study clinical outcomes among them.
And in the older group, the protection wasn't as effective, was it?
Correct. And we explained that probably is due to the fact that this population is older, probably already exposed to the HPV virus. They're older, so their immune system doesn't respond the same way as the younger. And in other publications had already highlighted that the younger, the better.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I was just going to ask that. So you would agree then it would be fair to say that when it comes to HPV vaccination, the earlier the better.
Yes. Yes. Many publications have already indicated that.
Okay. And so yes, your work was in a line of other research that shows that.
Yes.
Although your work was, I wouldn't characterize it as more careful. Maybe you would, but you had a lot of controls and you accounted for a lot of variables in your approach.
Yes, it was kind of a unique approach because as a clinician, I was interested in reviewing the results of the cervical cancer screening among this population that had been vaccinated in the United States during the last 10 years.
Are you doing other studies of this now, Dr. Rodriguez, you and your group?
Yes, I am the program director for a huge HPV school-based vaccination program in the Texas-Mexico border.
Uh-huh.
And from there is where I got this idea of studying the clinical outcomes among people that receive the vaccine at early age. My view as a clinician is that we should be vaccinating young people. And our research and also other people's research show that when the males and females receive the vaccine around 13, I mean, younger than 15, specifically between 11 and 13 is when the immune system really, really responds and builds a good protection. So my program in the Texas-Mexico border is about vaccinating middle schools, using middle schools to vaccinate males and females against HPV related diseases. And so my program delivers the vaccine on campus. And it's a huge program. Right now we are working with around 11 schools, middle schools, and we are also trying to expand to include other schools. This is a very, very high-risk population. HPV-related diseases are very, very strong. The presence of these diseases and infection is really, really a problem in this underserved area.
And so I guess you would hope, well, maybe you can tell me, what do you hope will happen as a result of this ongoing research, both yours and other people's, about the single dose vaccine effectiveness?
So, of course, it's expensive. It's more expensive to give three doses than one dose. So I would like to see if all we need is to give one dose, so we will be able to reach a bigger number of males and females. And if we prove that only one dose is what we need, this is going to be cheaper to protect more people.
Yes.
And to expand into more high-risk populations. Also, logistically, right now we are spending a lot of resources on vaccinating my middle schoolers with two doses because parents forget about the second dose, and we are right now spending a lot of resources and making sure that the students in my program get the second dose. We're spending in coordinators to be reaching out and reminding parents about the importance of completing the series. But it's all they need is one dose. This is really going to be more cost effective, I think.
I want to thank you, Dr. Rodriguez, for talking with me today.
Yes, and thank you very much for this opportunity, and I hope to have new opportunities in the future to join your program.
Oh, thank you. That was our 253rd episode. The whole collection is searchable and available free at podcasts.jwatch.org. Clinical Conversations is a production of the NEJM Group, and we come to you from NEJM Journal Watch. The executive producer is Kristen Kelly. I'm Joe Elia. Thanks for listening.